It's time to take off your clothes, enjoy clothes-free living, and join us for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
Welcome to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, the show that celebrates clothes-free living for all. I'm your host, Frank Stone.
And I'm your correspondent, Lisa Monroe, and I'll be reporting on all things within the naturist community. So it's time to get naked and join us.
And enjoy clothes-free living on Naked, Nudists, and Naturists. Well, greetings and welcome in to Naked, Nudists, and Naturists, episode 39 today. That's right, our 39th consecutive week of broadcasting and our 39th episode. We give you one a week every Saturday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. It drops on Spotify. And by the way, every single show is 1 hour long, so you can plan your listening time. Whether you are driving somewhere, whether you like to listen while you are grocery shopping or sitting on your deck or at the beach or in your living room, you know exactly it will be 1 hour long, and we appreciate having you with us. The only thing we ask in return, and we've been asking this the last few weeks, please take a moment to review, rate, and subscribe this show. Now, whether you're listening right now on Apple or Spotify, you can do it right now. There's a way to rate us. And of course, 5 is the highest. Just thought I'd put it out there. But we enjoy it. If you have a moment to write a few words about the show, terrific. If not, just give us a number. 5 is the highest. I thought I'd point that out yet again. And then on YouTube, we give you a brand new preview of the upcoming episode every Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. I haven't said that enough, haven't promoted it enough, so I thought I'd better start doing that. But if you can rate, review, subscribe, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, we'd appreciate it very much. Well, we are glad that you are with us. You know the deal. Yeah, the deal is always the same. The pool is open, the hot tub is open, the grill is on full tilt, vegetables, fruit off to the right, your favorite cold drinks off to the right, hot drinks inside, coffee, tea, maybe a few other goodies, and dessert is on its way as well. Well, on today's show, we will have report number 4 from Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom. Andy is the winner chair for AANR. That's Women in Nude Recreation for the American Association of Nude Recreation. We will also have a brief interview with Mark Sprong. Mark is from the Star Ranch in Texas. He also hosts the podcast for the Star Ranch. It's called Starcast. So we'll talk to Mark Sprong about the Star Ranch, about his show, and about naturism, nudism. We'll talk to Mark Sprong in just a little bit. Of course, we'll have our weekly correspondent on naturism, the terrific, the over-the-top, the great, the one and only, Lisa Monroe. And we will have part 2 of my interview with Dario Western from Australia, a huge proponent of naturism, nudism in Australia, but also he works as a musician and has performed nude before. How about that? And again, you are listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 39 today. And now let's get to report number 4 from Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom.
Hi, this is Andy.
And this is Tom with the Winter on Wheels, I'm Perfect Tour.
So I was so excited to get to visit the Dragonfly Ladies, which is an established winter group already, at the incredible home of Cynthia in Altadena, California. And her home was built by Franklin Lloyd Wright Jr. in the 40s, and it gives a view of the beautiful Arroyo Seco Canyon while you're sitting in the hot tub or in the dining room or in the kitchen. It's just glorious. And this group has been getting together approximately 4 years, and they have 3 to 4 events a year. And they gather to allow women to try naturism and meet other women who are in naturism. And doing so has really bonded them together in a special way. So there's that connection, community, and camaraderie that winter is all about. And Cynthia explained to me that they got their name because one day they were all sitting in the pool at her home and a dragonfly just landed on the finger of one of the women. It then flew over and visited each of the other women in the pool, 6 women in total, and spent a few minutes with each woman. And so they thought, that's just got to be the perfect name for our group. And so the Dragonfly Ladies was begun. 11 women joined in for the I'm Perfect presentation. And we gathered poolside and spent a great social hour before I began. And there are stables beside the property, and occasionally the smell of barnyard wafted over to us. I said it smells like home, since I grew up on Old McDonald's farm. They all thought that was pretty funny. But, you know, kids took great delight in teasing me about that when I was in grade school. And with that kind of a premise, I started with how words were the focus of what I wanted to talk about that day, because they're just a powerful tool, but most of the time they are a powerful negative tool, and they have just a profound effect on us. They sure did on me. Unkind words followed me a great deal of my life, and many of the women told me that that resonated with them and their experiences as well. And I could tell as heads were nodding as I was talking about my own experiences. But what was most important was that that negative changed to a positive when I became a nudist. The women I connected with only had positive things to say, and they shared with me the strength that they saw in me, and that's a strength that I didn't see in myself until becoming a nudist. So it took that community of women to finally help me see myself in a fully positive light. I shared about the WOW campaign, the Women in One Word campaign, and how much that helped not only the women who participated, but over 500,000 people who have seen those submissions and read the stories over the last year. And that number just keeps growing, because those stay in the social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, which is now X, and you can continue to read them and on the website as well. So if you don't know what that is or haven't heard of it, please go to the website and check it out on the 2023 WOW blog link. So as I have done, after each presentation, I asked for a living art participant, and I had 3 women who decided that they wanted to be a part of that. And we wrote the words of encouragement and empowerment that we felt to write on their bodies. And those included inspirational, accomplished, joyful, self-love, wow, rebel, I'm possible, and there's so much more. You can check out the picture if you go to the website and look at the update for the Dragonfly Ladies. And we spent the rest of the evening together enjoying the hot tub. There was a sauna, and ended by sharing a fantastic meal together. Lots of conversations on topics of all kinds, and a piano serenade on the baby grand made for just a truly memorable time together. No one wanted to leave and see the day end. So thank you, Dragonfly Ladies, for your hospitality, sharing your own stories with me, and welcoming me with open arms. Thank you so much.
Since this is a woman's only non-mounted cub, I got to do some wood-burning art that I love to do and let the ladies just do what they like to do. This is the Winter on Wheels I'm Perfect tour saying goodbye for now, and we'll see you down the road.
And there you go, report number 4 from the very terrific, highly articulate Andy Rogers. She is the chair of Winter for AANR. Women in Nude Recreation for the American Association of Nude Recreation, and her husband, Tom. We appreciate their reports, and we will have more of Andy Rogers on upcoming shows. Well, you are listening to Naked Nudist and Naturist today, episode 39. We thank you for being with us. We enjoy this time together, and we know that you do too, so let's just enjoy it for all that it's worth, clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. Let's get to my interview now with Mark Sprong. He is from the Star Ranch in McDade, Texas. He is also the host of the podcast for the Star Ranch. It's called StarCast. So let's talk to him right now from Texas, the very terrific Mark Sprong. So let's head out to Texas this morning. We're going to talk to a gentleman who is a member of the Star Ranch, about 35 miles or so east of Austin, Texas. But he is also the host of his own podcast. It's the podcast that's in conjunction with the Star Ranch. It's called StarCast, the podcast all about the Star Ranch. So let's welcome him to the show this morning from Texas, from the Star Ranch, Mark Sprong. Good morning, Mark. How are you today, sir?
Good morning, sir. I am doing wonderful. How are you?
Not too bad at all. I appreciate you asking. You're just living the clothes-free life for all the right reasons. And I think if you do that, nothing really goes wrong, at least. Or if it does, you can deal with it more readily, right?
It's amazing how stress-free life is when you embrace the clothes-free life.
It truly is. And that comes out not only in our show, but in your show. You know, we've listened to every episode. We knew about you a long time ago. I guess you've been doing this since August of 22. So we've been listening to all of your shows. And then a listener wrote in and said, hey, why don't you get Mark Sprong on your show? And you guys can go podcast to podcast and promote each other and talk about naturism, nudism, etc. And so that's what we're doing. We're glad to have you here. And tell us, if you don't mind, just a little bit about your background. Then we'll get into the Star Ranch. We'll get into the StarCast podcast as well. But when did you discover naturism as a lifelong thing, adulthood? Maybe just take us through that for a moment.
It was not a lifelong thing. I'm kind of frustrated with my parents that they didn't embrace such a thing, so I could enjoy it in childhood. As an adult, I was vacationing in Jamaica and understood that they had an island just off the coast of Jamaica that was clothing optional, and I decided to give it a shot. Spent the day there, got back to the States, and why should I have to go to Jamaica to enjoy a clothes-free lifestyle? Obviously, was clothes-free at home, but the whole public thing was in my future at that point. So I started researching. The internet makes that a whole lot easier these days. Back in the day, I went and bought a book that had a directory. Found some places in the Texas region. You know, stuck my toe in the water and decided that I liked it, and have been an active member of the Texas clothing-free scene ever since.
All right. Well, very good. Now, you said you did not grow up in the whole social naturism thing, yet you went to Jamaica and the clothes came off. Do you remember the impetus behind that? Is that something you always wanted to do, just couldn't find the avenue to do it, or what happened there?
I think so. I think it was one of those, you know, maybe it was in the back of my mind and I just I wasn't consciously aware of it, something of that nature. Went to Jamaica and tried it, as I said, and have been enjoying it ever since.
All right. Were you with anybody then? Did you take somebody with you? Were you just by yourself and, hey, I'm living large here, let's see what happens? Or
exactly. I actually, I met my wife through an online dating service, and then had to introduce her to the nude lifestyle. That was kind of dramatic. You know, when do you tell the lady that you're dating that you're a nudist and things like that? And I waited a couple weeks, then I broke the ice. She came out the following weekend, and we've been together ever since. We were married 4 years ago, so all is well.
Wow, that's very good to hear that. Sometimes that doesn't go as well as it went for you. We hear that all the time, but glad it worked out for you. We're talking to Mark Sprong from the Star Ranch in McDade, Texas. He's also the host of the StarCast podcast through the Star Ranch. So let's talk for a moment about this nudist club. You advertise yourselves as the best little family nudist club in Texas. We know where that comes from. So what's life like at the Star Ranch? Lots of people there, lots of activities?
Yeah, we're 110 acres. We've got 10 cabins that are for daily rentals. We've got 24 RV sites that are for daily rentals. We've got 2 swimming pools, a hot tub, pickleball court, clubhouse, breakfast cafe on the weekends. Most importantly, we have friendly people that are welcoming and interested in getting to know other nudists.
Yeah, and that's what comes through on your show, at least to me, more and more, like almost every single episode you put out on your StarCast podcast, which is affiliated with Star Ranch. People enjoy each other. Some of them went there alone, or they went there as an unknown, and they were quickly accepted into the community. They didn't have to worry more than 2 or 3 minutes. Somebody was coming up and saying, hey, you know, welcome to the club. But I also hear a lot on your show that people go through the whole body image thing, which we talk a lot about on our show because it's in the media everywhere. You have to have the perfect body, perfect face, perfect hair, and women, of course, perfect makeup. Otherwise, keep your clothes on, which is obviously a bunch of nonsense and trash. Have you found those two things more and more, not only on your show, but just living the life with other people?
Oh, definitely. The best thing to happen to my wife's body image, I'll talk about my wife, is to become a social nudist. She is very comfortable, very very relaxed. She's more comfortable at Star Ranch than she would be at a Walmart, for example, or anywhere out in public. So if we can get those that are nervous about giving a shot, if we can get them over the hump a little bit, generally they embrace it, and it's a very positive thing for their self-image. And the ladies, you know, Frank, you and I are two guys. It's probably weird for us to talk about the ladies and how they feel. Yeah. Never having been a woman, but you know, society is not easy on the ladies. Yeah. You know, if you're not a size two, then they get feelings of insecurity or down on themselves, and that's just not the case at Star Ranch specifically, and nude recreation in general.
It is, and it's hard to explain to a woman, you know, if you're not size two, you're not perfect. And oh, by the way, nobody is a size two except the three people you see in the movies who have had major reconstructive surgery. Yet that's the image they've been given since birth, isn't it? You have to look beautiful. Otherwise, you better maybe put two shirts on or three to cover yourself up. You've heard that a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's unfortunate because, you know, we're all made in God's image, and, you know, we're all beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard a woman on one of your shows. It was one of the later shows, 33, 34, 35. I don't remember which one. But she said if she's going to go camping and stay in a cabin or a tent for the night, she's much more comfortable being at the Star Ranch sleeping alone nude in a tent than she would be sleeping with clothes on at a textile resort. That, to me, that basically says it all. Did you see it the same way?
Well, yeah, that's a nutshell. Yeah. Obviously, at Star Ranch, number one, we have a locked gate. You're not going to get in unless you pass a criminal background check. There's a group of us that are there every weekend, and we kind of keep an eye out for the newbies just to make sure that they understand what the rules and regulations of the road are. And then if we do have a problem, all anybody has to do is raise their hand and say, I'm not comfortable, and that problem will be addressed immediately. So yeah. We're in the rest and relaxation business, and if we can't provide that for our guests and our members, then we've got issues. Yeah.
And that comes through on basically every episode. People feel really good and really comfortable about being at the Star Ranch. We've been talking to Mark Sprong this morning. He is from the Star Ranch in Texas and also runs the show StarCast, the StarCast podcast. And Mark, that's affiliated with the Star Ranch, right? You do that for the ranch to promote a business there. Is that my understanding?
That is correct. Yes. The marketing committee came up with the idea of having a podcast as an extension of Star Ranch, just to put some faces and some voices behind the place. And we've had people that have actually come out as a result of listening to the podcast. So I think I think we are achieving our goals, and we're very happy about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, people aren't sure. They're thinking about going to Star Ranch, and then they fire up your podcast. They hear Paul and Melinda, Jerry and Jeannie, Barbara and Paul, Debbie and Jeff, all these people who have been on your show who are members there. And they say, you know, those people sound like, first of all, normal people, but they also sound really nice. What the heck? Let's give it a shot. So a lot of people have found the Star Ranch through the StarCast podcast, and then they become members.
That's absolutely correct. That's yes. Great. Yes.
That is the way to go. Well, this is our short interview today, Mark. We're going to have Mark Sprong on in a few months or so for an extended full hour interview. We've been talking to Mark Sprong today from the Star Ranch in McDade, Texas, about 35 miles east of Austin, Texas. He is also the host of the podcast StarCast, which is run through the Star Ranch. And Mark, if people want to get a hold of you, hear the show, get in touch with the Star Ranch, how do they go all about doing that?
Well, we're on the internet, starranch.net. You can send us an email there. You can see our list of social activities and generally check the place out. There's some photographs there. There's the StarCast podcast is there. Good portal into Star Ranch.
and you have a whole section on visitor information. So if somebody's new and they've never been, you have a darn near 10 different subheadings they can check out and find out a lot of information before they even show up, right?
Absolutely, yes. All right. Absolutely. The whole goal is to present us to the folks that want to come out and enjoy nude recreation.
All right. Great to talk to you today. Again, Mark Sprong from Star Ranch in McDade, Texas, also the host of the StarCast podcast through the Star Ranch. And Mark Sprong, go out there and have a great close-free day. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for having me, Frank. Appreciate it.
You bet. The very terrific Mark Sprong from the Star Ranch, also the host of StarCast, another podcast on naturism. His mostly caters to the Star Ranch, but lots of great information for everybody involved in close-free living for all the right reasons. So check it out. We'll have Mark Sprong on for a longer interview a little bit down the road. While you are listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist today, episode 39, we thank you for being with us. And as you can tell by the music that is sneaking in on us, once again, it is time for the one, the only, the terrific, the over-the-top, wonderful Lisa Monroe. And here she is, fully smiling, fully clothes-free, and unlike last week, she is fully armed with baked goods. So let's welcome her to the show, our correspondent for naturism, Lisa Monroe. Good morning, Lisa. How are you today?
Good morning. And yes, I did bring snacks. And yes, they are brownies. So, but you can't have it. No, I guess you'll have some. We'll let you have some.
All right.
The girls might let you have some. Let's put it that way.
I should point out you did bring fruit last week. We had a very short segment on the show last week. Another short one today, unfortunately. But I will be diving into the baked goods as soon as we're done or as soon as the show is done. Did you mention or were you kind of intimating that the other people know that the baked goods are here so I have to share?
Yes, they do. I've learned to be sure to tell them because they're for everyone.
Okay.
And someone has a sweet tooth when it comes to chocolate, so no, I have to protect the others.
I do my best to stay away from it. I don't want to give the wrong impression that I'm just a chocolate hound because I would put on 1,000 pounds within a few weeks. So, but once in a while, especially when you bring yours in, do you bake them in the car because they still smell fresh?
No. But they're done in a very timely fashion and they stay nice and warm. And the reason I bring them in is so I don't eat them.
Okay. Well, we have a controversy out there sent to us by one of our regular listeners. It has to do with Australia looking to close a nudist beach. And if our listeners want to look it up, it's Byron Bay. And apparently it's been a nude beach, or you could be nude there for a very long time. But suddenly they're saying, no, I don't think so. What do you know about this, Lisa?
Well, I know that this beach has been around for a long time, and it's one of the few still beaches in this part of Australia that can actually have full nudity. And it's kind of been a clothing optional zone for a long time. And there, from what I can tell, there have been no issues, no problems, no harassment, no police activity, no nothing. People just go there, take their clothes off, enjoy the water, enjoy the sun, and they go home. What happened was that the Byron Bay Shire Council in December of last year received a letter from the MPWS, which is the governing body of this area. They wrote that, it had jurisdiction over the area, and that the nudist beach was not consistent with the values the reserve is managed under.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how a naturist would not have the values that a reserve would be managed under. And that is, I think, just a tremendously difficult statement for anyone to believe that that's the reason they want to stop this.
Well, it sounds like a bunch of political speak from one person or a committee or a group. We don't like naked people hanging around, so let's make up a bunch of nonsense, not consistent with the values the reserve is managed under, and that'll be the ticket to getting rid of this thing. And I'm reminded, somebody told me this years ago when I was, in my 20s, just kind of getting started in my professional life. But there was this one employee who wasn't very good, but not bad enough to fire. And did things he shouldn't have done, but not bad enough to discipline. but they didn't like him and they wanted him gone. And so they started tracking everything that he did. And the first thing was expense reports. Okay, we're sending you out of town to a conference. We'll check the expense report. Oh, you have alcohol on your bill and you submitted it for reimbursement in that particular organization. You could not do that. That's how they got him. So basically they made something up. They went looking for something because they wanted him gone. The goal was to get him gone. So let's find a way to get him gone. I think that's what's happening here. We don't like the nude beach. Let's find some ridiculous thing as our purpose for getting it gone. And that's what they've done. And apparently this takes place on April 8th, which is just around the corner. Is that your understanding as well?
That's what I believe, is that the effective date is April 8th. And, you know, it doesn't give the people there a lot of time to fight this. And in some ways, they may not even be able to fight this, regardless of even public stance. Once this decision's made by this committee, then it doesn't look like it's up to vote to anyone else. And it's just a real shame because, you know, if there, again, if there had been multitudes of issues there, if there had been complaints, if there had been, but they mentioned nothing about that. They just mentioned that it's not consistent with the values the reserve is managed under. So that sounds to me like it's the values of the manager of the reserve and or someone in that group who is offended and has decided that if they don't like it, no one's going to like it.
Yeah. And it could be somebody not even in official power. It could be the spouse or the best friend or the mother of somebody on this council.
Absolutely.
You know, hey, honey, get rid of that nude beach thing. Okay. All right, darling, we'll find a way to do it. Hey, let's make this up and it doesn't go with our values. And the question I have, you know, the quote is not consistent with the values the reserve is managed under. Well, this became a nude beach, it looks like, from the article in 98, so 26 years ago. So for 26 years, if their statement is correct, it wasn't consistent with the values the reserve is managed under. Why is it all of a sudden, 26 years later, an issue? Your thoughts on that?
I think it can only come down to one thing, and that is that it is a personal decision by someone who does not like the process, doesn't want that there, and is, you know, executing their own opinion, and it's going to impact an awful lot of people. There may be other beaches they can go to, but they may be hours away. That's a very large country. And it's just, it's insane because, you know, to me, naturists don't go to these locations to be seen.
Right.
You know, we're not about being seen.
Right.
We are about being kind of communing with nature in a way that we enjoy. And it's just ridiculous to chastise someone for something that is actually not harmful to anyone.
Right. And they said there is nothing in between the Byron area and the city of Sydney. So that was the only new beach, the only place they had to go. Now they have nowhere to go.
That's a long way.
There are no such places in all of Queensland. There's nothing there. So they're taking everything away. And there was some trouble, we should point out. In 2018, there was a recommendation to close down the nude beach because there were some knuckleheads doing, you know, lewd and sexual stuff and probably hitting up other people. Hey, baby, you look nice nude. Why don't we do this? And, you know, whatever. So the council rejected the recommendation to close it, but they did install a lot of TVs. And basically, that's taken care of the problem. So there's been no problem since then because everybody knows you do something stupid, you're caught on camera and you'll be in trouble. So it seems like it was resolved, yet out of the blue, with almost no time for public input, they're doing this and grossly unfair. I'm guessing you agree.
Oh, I do agree. I think it's extremely unfair. And, you know, I'm sure even major beaches like Hallover and those places have their issues, but they're dealt with and you go on. And there's always a bad apple, but it's just unfortunate because it seems like choice sometimes is not in our hands. And when it's something that is not impacting anyone else, it's just very, very disturbing to see this kind of targeting being done against naturists.
That's right. Well, we have in the show notes the article that this listener sent to us. And as part of the article, there's a link to an online petition. I don't know if it's too late to sign it. I always say it's never too late. Go ahead and sign that if you're so inclined. and tell this Byron council, hey, that's enough of this nonsense. Nobody's bothering. It's no harm, no foul. Just leave them alone. And maybe we'll do some good for those people. Lisa, unfortunately, we have to go. A shorter segment today. Hopefully, we'll get back to our regular time limits later. But thank you for the baked goods. You go out there and have a great clothed-free week and happy smiling and dancing. We'll see you next time.
Oh, absolutely. You too, Frank. Have a great week. All right. Great naked week. And bye.
That's right. You too. We'll see you later. Bye. The very terrific Lisa Monroe, and I cannot wait to dive into these baked goods. I'm telling you, she's already left the studio. This woman could open up her own shop, and it would be flooded with customers 25 hours a day. The terrific Lisa Monroe and her baked goods. I wonder if she makes good dinners and lunches and breakfasts, too. Probably so. Maybe one of these days we'll open up our kitchen to her and say, hey, Lisa, what do you need? What supplies do you need? Have at it and feed us all. If she would do that, I think she would. But we appreciate Lisa Monroe for all of her time as our weekly correspondent on naturism. Well, we hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder, we give you a brand new YouTube preview every Wednesday. I just don't say that enough. I need to put that out there more often. Every Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, it hits YouTube. And you can find that fairly easily. Just go to YouTube, type in Naked Nudist and Naturist. Our channel comes up. And go ahead and subscribe there and like and review and all that good stuff. Send us a comment. And then a brand new show, of course, every Saturday morning in podcast land. That's also 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Hit Spotify right away and then every podcast platform under the sun shortly thereafter. And we do ask, if you have a moment, please like, review, and subscribe. It'll help us out tremendously here. It won't cost you a thing other than maybe 5 seconds of time. And we appreciate you, and we appreciate that very much. Well, you are listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 39 today. And now let's get to part two of my interview with Dario Western from Australia, a huge proponent of naturism, nudism in Australia, and also works as a musician and has performed nude before. So let's get to it right now. Part two of my interview with Dario Western. Yeah,
it always semi-cracks me up, for lack of a better term, that people go onto these forums like Twitter or Facebook and they argue with each other as though they're going to convince anybody to change their mind. That will never, ever, ever happen in the rest of the civilization, where you believe one thing, I believe another, and I just slam you. You know, you're a loser and you're a bum and you're a psycho. Here's what you ought to believe. And the other person says, son of a gun, Frank, you're right. I think I'll believe the way you believe now. That will never happen. So why do people do that, do you think? Why do they do that?
I don't know. It's probably just human nature to try and make up its wrong.
I made the mistake, whenever it was, within the last 5 years or so, local newspaper would print an article about, you know, political article. And they would have a section for comments. You could make a comment. You could read the comments. I thought, I'm going to weigh in here because I have some, at least I like to believe, some intellectual things to express. Not taking a side one way or the other, but just, have you thought of this? Have you noticed that? Get a discussion going like I'm used to doing. Oh, they came out of the woodwork, just knocking me every which way against every wall and leaving me for dead. And I thought, I don't need this nonsense. You know, I could come back at them and say, oh, yeah? You think I'm a loser? Well, you're a bigger loser, you know, like everybody else does. I thought, no, not going to do it. It's just not worth it, is it?
Yeah, unfortunately, I've had quite a lot of very nasty stuff said about me by people that I've never met in real life about being a nudist. I mean, I try to ignore it, but it can just get very overwhelming sometimes, you know, and especially when it sort of goes out, you know, to other people and stuff, and they just believe it and that. And then they sort of like turn against me, which is pretty.
Well, you can't win. If somebody goes on and just says, you know, Dario Western, your music is awful and I don't like you as a person. Okay. You know, whatever they say. Right. If you come back with a comment, they're going to come back with 10 more comments because they're ready for it. Hope Dario responds because I'm ready to go. And so I found, whatever. You guys say whatever you want. I can't stop you from saying stuff. You might be wrong. You might be 100% wrong, but I'm not going to convince you. So say what you want. I'm not going to respond. And sometimes maybe that's a smarter way to go. At least you'll live longer if you avoid it, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So what's life like for you now, just day to day, week to week? Are you involved in photography, drawing, music, naturism? Just tell us what's going on with your life.
I'm playing guitar in a band called D-Wiz 2.0.
Okay.
Which has been around since 2005. Okay. And we do stuff like local bars and pubs around Brisbane. I've also been doing some volunteering with a community centre that helps people get back into doing part-time work, especially those who have physical or mental or intellectual differences or ailments. Yeah,
you're staying pretty busy. But what are you looking to do with the band? I mean, is that it? You just want to be in the band? You need to play different places and get your creative juices flowing that way?
Yeah, sort of playing different places. Whoever invites me to play, I'll play.
I haven't talked about it much on the show, although I think I have mentioned it once or twice. I worked for a long time as a musician as well. Like my first two college degrees were in music. And I studied with a major symphony orchestra, as well as some jazz and pop. You know, I did it all, kind of like you did. And one day in a lesson, now remember, with a major symphony orchestra, it's very serious. You know, one mistake and your fanny could be out the back door, never to be seen again. And my teacher came up to me, he said, by the way, he goes, if you keep working hard, maybe you can be in a band like this. And he took a picture out of his briefcase, and it was four naked women on stage playing, had a bass guitar, they had a guitar, a drummer, and a piano player. And I said, first of all, I was flabbergasted that he would show that to me. That wasn't the setting. But secondly, my mind immediately went to, now that's the way it should be. If they're comfortable playing nude, they should be. But of course, he just thought it was the greatest thing ever and, kind of sexualized it with me in conversation. Never saw that photo again, but that's probably been going on since the beginning of time, naked bands. We just don't hear about them because they're underground or they're at resorts, right?
Yeah, well, there have been some mainstream bands that have also gone naked, like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. When they started out their career with, I think they were with EMI, they did a EP called Abbey Road, where they were walking down Abbey Road in London, wearing only shoes and socks.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And they had socks over their genitals.
Oh, jeez. Did they get in trouble for that, or any flack, or what?
I don't know, but all I know is that they became successful on account of that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, there were a few incidents that I've heard of. One, the star, Iggy Pop, I'm sure you're familiar with him or his music.
Oh, yeah, I know who Iggy Pop is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, apparently he either got naked or pulled his pants down at just about every show and got in some trouble for it. And I'm currently reading a book because I couldn't find anything else to read. It's a book on the 1972 Miami Dolphins football team, which means nothing in Australia, but in America, it means a lot because they won every game that year, every regular season game, every playoff game, and the Super Bowl. They went 17-0, and they're still in the history books as one of the greatest teams of all time. Well, they were describing the cultural, political scene in Miami at the time all of this was going on, and they had a concert right outside the stadium with Jim Morrison and the Doors. Oh. And he pulled his pants down. In fact, he said, you guys just want to see me naked, don't you? Like, the crowd went crazy. So he did. Of course, he got in some trouble for that. That's not the way to do it, is it? Just shocking people with, you want to see me whip my pants down? Here we go. I'm a naturist. Well, no, you're not. You're just an exhibitionist trying to show off, right?
That's right. No, I mean, I would never want to be calling Australia, dack myself on stage. It's not what I do. Yeah, but I mean, if the atmosphere or the environment permits it, then I would. I mean, like I posed for Spencer Tunick last year when he came to Brisbane for the first time, and that was just like really good. Yeah, the people there were very friendly, and there weren't any, there wasn't any dramas or anything like that with people walking down park naked, posing underneath the bridge.
Well, we talk a lot about normalizing naturism, normalizing nudism. When it becomes normal and natural, there won't be all of this flack and grief and, oh my goodness, look at that. It's just whatever you do with your clothes on, you should be able to do with your clothes off if you so choose, and never being inappropriate. Just live the clothes-free life for all the right reasons, as we say. Do you agree with that?
Well, the old nudist site, cybernude.com, once had a section of what to do nude and what not to do nude. There were a few things that they didn't recommend you do nude, like
that's true. Yeah.
Pick blackberries or file 44s or go to go to work or go to a mosque or whatever. There are a lot of other things that they said, you know, fine to do nude, you know, like swimming or, you know, getting a massage or, you know, posing for a, you know, for night class or just sleeping nude, yeah.
So. Well, what about something simple like going to the grocery store? You know, right now, if you went to the grocery store today, you could wear a blue shirt, a red shirt, a black shirt. You could wear whatever you wanted, but you can't go there nude, not a regular grocery store. I guess in Cap Dag you can, but in a regular town you can't. But wouldn't it be great if we got to that point? Okay, just I'm going for vegetables and bread and some meat, and I don't have any clothes on, and nobody cares.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be good, you know, but I don't really think I'd see that happening in my lifetime. It'll probably be some decades or so before it happens. But the thing is, a lot of it comes down to, you know, the power of religion and conservative politics, which still play a major part in American culture. Although I think the younger people are becoming a lot more, sophisticated about nudity. Yeah. You know, they don't see it as being, you know, exclusively sexual. You know, they just see it as a part of being.
Right. And a lot of that, too, some of the younger people I've talked to, it's like, well, my parents aren't doing this, so therefore I'm going to, you know, kind of the rebellious side. And then they find out they actually enjoy it for all of the right reasons. Then it becomes natural and normal to them. Then they show up at their parents' house at age 30 and the parents say, what in the name of heaven are you doing? Put your clothes back on. And then they have discussions and arguments and whatever. But that's part of getting it to the point where it's normal, right?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, it's still got a very rebellious, you know, kind of a connotation to it, you know, because people are very heavily conditioned, especially in my culture, you know, to be dressed except for showering or having sex.
Yeah, we had, I'm sure you know of the rock festival back in the 60s called Woodstock.
Yes. It was
supposed to be a small festival and grew to gigantic proportions. A lot of people were naked there. They sometimes talk about it. I don't think they talk about it enough because I think more people had clothes off than had clothes on. And there were two reactions like, oh my gosh, you know, a bunch of evil people there. And then other people, well, why not? You're outside, you're enjoying the elements, the sun, the wind on your skin. There are bands on stage. Let's just have a good time. So there's two different ways to look at it.
Yeah. In Australia, we had a rock festival in the early 70s called the Sunbury Festival, and that ran for a couple of years or so. And a lot of the punters went skinny dipping and nude, you know, sunbathing at it, and nobody really cared at the time.
Yeah. Now, where else have you lived? As I recall, you were not born and raised in Australia, right? You moved there at some point.
I was born in Manchester in the UK.
That's what I thought.
I came to Australia when I was 11 years old.
Any differences? I know birth to 11 is different in your mind from, you know, 11 on. But looking back, any major differences in culture or about the same?
I think Australians are a lot less accepting of eccentricities than the English are, because I read that the World Naked Bike Ride has the biggest turnout in London and then any other city in the world.
Oh, okay.
Which shows that the English are at least a bit more accepting about public nudity than Australians are.
Mm-hmm.
And the same goes with a lot of the European cultures, especially in Northern Europe and Eastern Europe. yeah, there are a lot of clothing optional beaches and lakes and saunas and stuff like that there. And I think people take advantage of it because the weather there is a lot more colder, so they want to take advantage of the sun when they have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I've talked to people over in the UK, and public nudity is legally allowed as long as you're not inappropriate or being dastardly.
On the condition that it's not done to upset or alarm people,
right?
You know, stuff like flashing obviously is unacceptable and illegal in the UK. Yeah. But if you want to, if you want to, get your groceries or just sit outside a cafe nude or whatever, then and you're not trying to force it on anyone else, then that's apparently considered okay. There's a fellow called Richard A. Collins in the UK who's got a group called Naturists UK on Facebook, which is a public group, above all. And he talks about the whole English culture and legal system, you know, where public nudity is involved. They're getting a lot of women and younger people joining the group because he's very protective of his group, and he doesn't put up with any nonsense from perverts or trolls or anything like that.
And that's the way it has to be. If a man gets inappropriate, we'll just tell him to knock it off or verbally punch him in the nose. But if a man gets inappropriate with a woman, they get upset and they get worried and they might not return. And so it's very good they police those, as well as the resorts. They police that nonsense. They can't have it or it'll kill off the resort. Nobody will show up, right?
Yeah, there is a website and a group called News Naturist Hall of Shame, which was originally started by a lady called Nikki Kraft. And she was a former member of the Naturist Society. And she had been privy to a lot of inappropriate behavior that had been going on in the naturist world from the early 70s till the early noughties. Mm-hmm. And she was saying, you've got to be vigilant. These sort of people, are invading our utopia. People thought she was an absolute kook. And unfortunately, if you speak out against inappropriate behavior at some nudist places, you get treated as a pariah.
Yeah, very much so. Now, how did you grow up? You didn't grow up as a naturist, or did you?
No, I didn't. But when I was 8 years old, I saw a documentary on the BBC called Let's Go Naked. When I was living in Manchester. And it was about English and European and American tourists who were going to France and Germany and Holland to enjoy nudist activities. And I thought it was interesting, especially because at the time I didn't know what sex was about, and I didn't even think that something like nudist culture would exist except in some primitive tribes or whatever else. But the whole idea of being in the nudist community sort of interested me a lot through my teens. And then when I was 19, I went to a nude swim in Brisbane, near the city, where they had a pool that hosted nude swims every month. And I sort of took to it after a few visits, and just really enjoyed myself and made a few friends there
Well, that's great. What I've always noticed is if there are issues between people where they get angry, maybe even want to fight, it's always in a textile environment that occurs. People are in a bar drinking, they have their clothes on, and all heck breaks loose. I've never seen anything like that in a naturist nudist community, other than when there's an idiot who tries to, use it for the wrong reasons. But let's say you're at the pool, and as you're walking by, you accidentally step on somebody's towel. Well, you do that at a textile pool. You might, hey, get off my towel, you loser. Whereas the naturist place, they don't even say anything. They might just say hello, or, you know, would you like a bottle of water from my cooler? Totally different mindset. I don't think there's any question. Naturism, nudist people are just happier overall for all of the obvious reasons, right?
Yeah, they tend to be a bit more altruistic than non-nudist people. Yeah, because in a psychological sense, I'd say that that certain defenses are taken down, you know, when you've got no clothes on. So, you know, you can automatically be a lot more, I think, agreeable with people, you know, if they're being, you know, inappropriate, or you know, you're upset about something. Yeah,
no, that's it. And people just don't get mad. Oh, you stepped on my towel, no big deal. You know, hey, why don't we sit down and have lunch together? And totally different mindset and outlook on life.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So what are you looking to do between now and the rest of your life, which hopefully you'll live to 200, so you have a lot of years to go? More nudism, more band stuff, more songwriting, photography, drawing. What are you looking to do?
I want to be focusing more on my music, because music was pretty much my first love with creative things. And also finding the right kind of people to do the nudist music and stuff with, you know, instead of having, you know, muses that join and then about a few weeks later or a couple of months out of the track, they've had enough and they just pull out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like to form another nudist band and just get out there and play at resorts or wherever you can get hired?
Yeah. Ideally, I would like to be doing that. But currently I'm without a car, so that makes things a bit difficult for me.
Hard to drive to gigs without a car, right?
Yeah, that's right. So I have to rely on a friend to take me around. Yeah.
You know, the part about being a musician that people don't understand unless they actually do it is hauling equipment around. You mentioned the car. Of course, you have to have a car that's in workable order so you can get to the gig and get to the gig on time, not breaking down on the highway. But also you're carrying guitars and amps and speakers, and after a while, your back starts to hurt just a little bit, doesn't it? Just from the mundane part of getting to a gig.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my dad is a jazz singer. And when he used to play at nightclubs in the UK, he used to have to go up like fire escapes, you know, in some of these tall buildings where they had nightclubs. And he'd be hauling amps and his microphones and stuff up about like 4 or 5 stories, and totally knackered out by the end of it.
Yeah. I remember playing in some places at 3 or 4 stories high, but they were built before elevators became normal, and they hadn't put elevators in because they, you know, basically in America, when you upgrade or update your place and an elevator is needed, you have to put one in by law. Well, they hadn't upgraded their place, so they didn't have to put one in. So we're carrying, you know, 100-pound speakers up 3 or 4 flights of stairs, and that gets old pretty quickly. Now, nobody sees that. They just see you on stage having fun playing music, but there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. And this one guy, I went to college with this one guy, so, you know, 175 years ago in college, and he was a really good drummer, really good, and was playing all of the time. Everybody was hiring him. He was making all kinds of money. And then I didn't see him for about 30 years after college. We got together and I said, you still playing the drums? He goes, no, I'm not playing drums anymore. Well, that surprised the heck out of me because drumming was his life. And I said, well, what happened? He said, I got tired of hauling my drums around. He goes, those things get heavy the older you get, and it just gets to be a pain in the neck. He goes, plus, I was at the point where the money I was making, I was using to pay my bills. And there was one night in particular, he had a light bill, you know, electricity bill came to his house, and he had a gig that night. And he said, I'm actually going to the gig tonight so I can pay my electricity bill. And he said, that's it. I don't want to live this life anymore, because what if I don't want to go to the gig? What if I get sick? And he just abruptly, he didn't quit on the spot, but he went back to college to get a degree in something else. Website design, I think. So he can sit home now behind a computer and not have to haul drums around or drive all over creation looking for gigs. Do you feel that sometimes as well?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I mean, I'm in my early 50s now, and yeah, I've got to be very careful about, overworking myself, with music, especially with carrying equipment around and all that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I worked with this one band. The guys were, I was probably 21 or 22. The other guys in the band were about 30, which is still pretty young. And they hired a roadie. They hired a guy to haul everything in and haul everything out. I said, you guys are 30. You don't need a roadie when you're 30. You know, save the money, put it in your own pocket. I said, oh, no, when you get to be 30, you'll realize what we mean. And I sort of started to at age 30, and I realized there would be an ending point. Before the end of my life, I would stop hauling stuff around because it just gets to be too much. Although, let me ask you this now. If every gig you could perform nude, would that take some of the burden off? I can carry speakers up the stairs, no problem.
Well, I mean, if it was like a tribute band, where I have to dress up in all different outfits and stuff, to the bands that I'm copying, then yeah. But for like a nude band, I mean, I wouldn't obviously wouldn't have that kind of problem.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. So at least it would be more worth it. It'd be more fun. Okay, haul these speakers up the stairs, but now I can get my clothes off and play clothes free, and life is great again. Until the gig ends and you have to carry everything out. Let's wait for the next gig. Well, we've been talking to Dario Western today. What an amazing guy out of Australia. He's done it all. He's done photography. He's done life drawing, both sides of the canvas, as an artist, as a model. And of course, you've heard about his naturism life, his nudist life, his Facebook group to promote it. And also a nude musician for a while there, had nude people in his band and just doing it the right way for all the right reasons. And Dario Western, before we go, tell our listeners again how they can find you, how they can find all of your work online.
If you want to listen to the music from Laissez-Faire, you can check out linktree.com/LaissezFaire1, or you can check them out on YouTube and SoundCloud.
And are you still involved in life drawing, or is that just something that you got involved in for a while you're not doing anymore?
Something I just got involved with for a while. I might probably do it next time I go to Confest, but okay. It's never been a great ambition of mine to be a champion life artist. Yeah.
Okay. I thought about it once, and then I realized my stick figures are not very good, let alone trying to expand. So I'm out. I'll stick to the music.
But,
well, it's great to have had you on the show today. As more music comes out, particularly if it pertains to naturism, nudism, let us know. We'll get you back on, maybe play a song or two during a show, and just keep promoting you, because you are promoting nudism, naturism for all the right reasons. So just keep us posted. We'll get you back on.
Sure.
All right. Once again, Dario Western from Brisbane. You say a Brisbane, right? Not Brisbane. It's Brisbane.
Brisbane. But Americans often call it Brisbane.
Yeah. That's how I've always heard it.
The vernacular calls it Brisneyland or Bris Vegas.
So Brisbane in Queensland, which is in Australia. And Dario Western, to the best of your ability, go out there and have a great clothes-free day. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you very much, Frank.
All right. Thank you. The very terrific Dario Western from Australia. You can find him all over social media. He mentioned SoundCloud as well. Check out his music. Check out his Facebook group if you are inclined to do so. And we thank Dario Western for all of his time on today's show as well as last week's show. And by the way, as a heads up, on next week's show, episode 40, and the show after that, episode 41, we will have Paul Z. Walker as our guest. He's a highly prolific author, writes in naturism fiction as well, works with Will Forrest and Ted Bunn. So we'll have Paul Z. Walker on each of the next two shows. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and review Spotify, Apple, and YouTube. Well, thank you for being with us on Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 39 today. We give you a brand new show every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Continue to join us. Check us out on our website, nakednudistandnaturist.com, Spotify, Google, Amazon/Audible, Apple Podcasts, and also on Twitter. You can write us anywhere, anytime, any place. And we thank you for being with us today.
plan to join us for every single one of our shows here and have your clothes off when you're listening. We have our clothes off when we're broadcasting, enjoying the naturist life.
We celebrate clothes-free living for all. Remember to enjoy being naked and join us again for Naked Nudist and Naturist.
We drop a brand new show every Saturday morning, so come back and join us. Have your clothes off when you do for Naked Nudist and Naturist. Have a great clothes-free day.